I just want to share something with you this morning that probably nothing that I'm going to say today you haven't heard me say a dozen times over the years, because I think that God's called us as pastors and with a fivefold ministry, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and teacher, to teach his word and to encourage and to bless. And basically, there are two messages. There is a message of salvation, and then there's a message of how to work out that salvation in you, how to live Christ-like, you know. And so when you got a room full of Christians, there's not much need to preach a salvation message. So we talk about how to live our life for Christ. And so I've been talking to you for several years, and these are things that I believe that work powerfully in our lives. The actual title for today's message is Handling Storms of Life. How many know we have storms? And I teach this very principle a lot, because, and I know it may even be repetitive. Sometimes I've heard me say this stuff for, what, since 1999 now. But the Bible says this. It says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when we hear God's word, faith comes to us. And I know there's a camp that says that we've been given the measure of faith, and that is enough faith for you to do anything that you ever need in Christ Jesus. And I submit to you that is the measure of faith, all right. But there must be more to that, or faith would not come when you heard the word of God. If you had all the faith you ever need, you wouldn't need to come to you no more. Amen. So there are though no, so that camp that teaches that is, you know, they're just off in a ditch a little bit. They teach faith, and it's a good thing. You can learn a lot from what they have to teach. But it's like in any other message anybody else preaches, even the message that I preach, you have to eat the meat and spit out the bones. You take that which is right, take that which is truth, what that affects you and touches your life, and you apply that to your life. Amen. And so when we come to the storms of life, we all have those things. But the key point, that's not really a point in my message, but one of the key things is that we must understand, first of all, that the storms that we face in our life, the crises, the tragedies, the mishaps, the times when we're going through lack and times when we're going through plenty. Paul said he learned how to be content even when he had plenty and when he didn't have plenty. You know, we got to realize that these times in our lives, that has not taken God by surprise, that he has known to begin from the very beginning. Interesting thing this week, I saw on Yahoo News on the computer, I believe it's a group of scientists in Canada that now believe that the world was not created by a Big Bang theory, so to speak, like the world teaches that, but that the age of this universe is infinite. That is a huge, huge change in the way scientists is viewing creation now. So basically what it's coming down to is they're beginning to grasp the fact that the Bible's right. Even science has proven that out. And, you know, we believe that even scientists have said for years that this earth is millions, even billions of years old. But the critics to that will try to say, well, we from the Bible says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. There is a huge space of time between verse 1 and verse 2 of Genesis in chapter 1. And so anyway, even scientists believe for years now that the earth is millions and billions even years old. But people believe that everything was formed the day God created man and put him in the garden. And we have some scriptural references, or it doesn't necessarily come out in what sort of does, but it talks about, and you can get this from that there was a race of people before Adam. Amen. And that there had been a big flood and whatever had happened, and when God told Noah that he would no longer destroy the earth by a flood, and he gave him the rainbow as a promise that would never happen again. There's even a little bit of you got to think about it a little bit, but there's even a little bit of idea when he said that I will not destroy it again. There's kind of a little bit of a thought there that he may have done it before, you know. And so those are things, they're just theories, they're not proven in Scripture, but you can kind of get a thread of that through the teaching of the Word of God. And so my point with all this is I don't have a clue what that point was. But anyway, there's things that goes on in lives, but God is not, God's been around a long time. And things in our life don't surprise Him. They don't fool Him. He knows what's going on, amen? And so when we go through storms of life, He knows how to handle those things. The Bible says He knows how to deliver us out of it all. You know, if you're looking through the New Testament, you'll find a story in there of a wise man and a story of an unwise man. And there was a wise man who had built his house on a rock. There was an unwise man who had built his house on sand. And that wise man who had built his house on a rock, that when storms of life come, I wish I could tell you as your pastor this morning that you're going to live in just, if it's going to be just peachy king, you're not going to have any problems now that you're born again, it's all good. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus said, well, as long as you live in this world, you will have tribulation. But He did go on to say, He said, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And the Bible teaches us, and throughout, He's given us authority and the right to apply the Word of God, the right to use His name so that we can overcome all these storms in life. The man who had built his house on a rock and the man who had built his house on the sand all had the same winds, the same waves, the same storms hit their lives. There's no difference in the storms that I faced, that you faced, and the unsaved faced. We're all dealing with as a result of the fall of man has caused, right? The difference is your house built on a rock or is your house built on a sand? Is your life, is your thoughts, is the person that who you are you motivated by the life of Jesus Christ, or are you motivated and do you put your trust in the things of this world which is ruled over by Satan? And so no matter whichever one of those worlds you're in is going to determine how your house is going to stand when these winds, these storms, these waves come. And so what you do when that storm comes is vital to your success in that storm, through that storm. How you respond to your crisis, how you respond to lack in your life, how you respond to sickness, how do you respond to family and family relationships and family troubles, all those things determine how you're going to overcome. If your house is built on a rock, you're going to approach those things with faith. If your house is built on sand, you're going to approach those things with doubt. All right. And so I just want to encourage you this morning, as I've had to examine my own life at times, how do I approach this storm that's raging in my life? And if you'll examine your life and be truthful about that, you will be able to determine, am I trusting the Lord or am I trusting the world? And we know there are people who trust the world. Y'all know when I talk about the world. It's not talking about creation. It's talking about the mentality, the thought patterns of an unsaved world that's trying to get us to believe them and trust them and follow them. Y'all know that, right? But here's the deal. There's nothing in this world that can bring you lifelong, sustained victory. Everything in this world is falling. It's faltering. There's going to come a day when there's going to be a fire come and it will test that, and anything that's not of God will be burned up. Amen? And so I just want you to realize this morning that you and I, each one of us, need to make up our mind. This is really good and really help us if we'll make up our mind beforehand how we're going to respond to these things. Amen. If you can make up your mind today that I ain't going to trust God, I'm going to rely on the Word of God, I am not going to give up, I'm not going to quit, I'm going to stay in the fight until I get the victory. If I got that mindset already made up, then I am a step ahead of the enemy when he comes to try. Now before I begin to, I've got 8 points this morning and that I want to talk to you about handling the storms of life, handling the troubles you go through. But before I do that, I'm going to tell you how not to handle it. All right? Galatians talks about the works of the flesh. Let me just read you a few things. This is not the way to handle storms of life. alcohol, drugs, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, wrath, emulations, strife, seditions, murders, suicide, and all works of the flesh. These things are all works of the flesh. That's not how to handle your crisis. I mean, we just come to a class this week from a Clarion Bible Institute class where the title was Addictions and Shame and Codependency. And he spent quite a bit of time talking about addictions with drugs and alcohol and things like that. And I can just tell you this, alcohol is a big problem. But my point with all this, is that anytime we use alcohol or drugs or adultery or fornication or uncleanness or lasciviousness, idolatry, these things that I just read off a while ago, these things become idols. And the Bible says that we're not supposed to have any other idol before God, right? We think, well, how does alcohol become an idol? How does drugs become an idol? Anytime we use anything other than God to do for us what God said he would do for us, it has become an idol to us. That makes sense? A person become an idol to you. If you put your trust in a person. Now listen, God uses people, right? But your trust should be in the Lord. And God will send a person into your life to be a blessing. At the same time, that's how the devil works in your life too. He'll send a person in your life to bring curse on you, to bring trouble in your lives. I want to finish reading something about that. This is Galatians chapter 5 right here. Of all those works of the flesh that it names, it says, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. How you overcome storms in your life, how do you overcome those things is through the kingdom of God, through the word of God, through the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Those is what is overcoming. What strengthens you is so that you can be victorious. The works of the flesh is the opposite of that. The Bible says those who are habitually walking in, living in, who this is their, the works of the flesh is their life. That's who they are. You're fooling yourself if you think you can live like the devil and inherit God's kingdom. In order for us to correctly handle the storms that we face in our life, we must be led by and operate in the Spirit. I'm not talking about some magical, mystical thing. I'm talking about a genuine, common sense filled life of walking in the Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit of God. You know what? God is common sense God. It makes common sense to me if you have a flat tire to get out of your truck and go change it. Now, probably not this, but there are people around here that think they've got to get me in this faith-filled, mystical area, and if they are, then somehow or another God will just put air back in the tire. Now, you know what I believe? I believe if you had an emergency, and I believe you had a reason for a miracle, and it was a life or death thing or whatever it might be, and God would prevent it from having a flat or put air in the tire. I don't know what either, but God performed a miracle for you. But most of the time, we just need to live a common sense, Christ-centered lifestyle. The foundation of a victorious Christian life is living a life being led by the Spirit of God. I'm going to read to you Mark chapter 6, verse 45 through 52. And straightway he constrained his disciples. The word constrained there is very important. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side before unto Bethsaida. While he sent away the people, he went, and when he had sent away them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them, this is important, and he saw them. Everybody say, and he saw them. Toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. Does it sound like when the wind is contrary, I'm talking about storms of life? Okay. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by. That is a statement that has always caught my attention and has made me think. And he would have passed by them. Do you know the two guys walking on the road to Emmaus, when Jesus walked up alongside them, it said there also that he would have passed on by. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for the heart was hardened. One of the first things that I want us to, out of these 8 points, this first point here this morning, is that you need to understand this, is that if you're going to handle the storms of life correctly, is that you are on a divine journey. As you are on a divine, you're not here by accident. You're not even here today by accident. Your life where you live and what God's called you to in life is not by accident. It's no accident that you were geographically located by God in this area. As well as people all around the world, God places them. He places them in the body of Christ where he pleases. I believe he places us geographically where he pleases. And he has called each and one of us to something. Amen. God has a purpose for my life. God has a purpose for your life. He has a plan for my life. He has a plan for your life. And that plan is a good plan. It's the every thought that God has to you, for you rather, is for your good. It's not to harm you. It's to give you a future and give you a hope. John chapter 15, verse 16 tells us that we've not chosen him, but he's chosen us. God has chosen us. And we begin that first verse by saying, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship. That word constrained it means to order, to force, or to command. So the journey that the disciples were sent out on that day was they were sent by God. Jesus said to them, get in the boat and cross over. So that sounds like people that have got this idea and this concept, okay, God has sent me, and so as long as I'm doing what God's called me to do, nothing's going to happen in my life. Well, here we have a biblical example of they were sent by God, and they get out in the middle of the sea, and winds come up. It's not no gentle little breeze. There's enough wind blowing there, enough waves being created, that they were afraid. And the reason I know that is because they talked about the winds being boisterous and things like that. When Peter actually got out of the boat and began to walk to Jesus, he took his eyes off Jesus and began to look at how the storm was creating the waves and what danger that was. And when he did that, he got his eyes off Christ and he began to fall, sink. Good news is Jesus didn't let him sink. He reached out and got him by the hand, lifted him back up and put him in the boat. Amen. So what I wanted to say out of that to you right there is that even though God has specifically said, get in the boat, cross the sea, that does not excuse, or not excuse, that does not prevent storms from happening. Right in the middle of God's will. They said they were in the midst of the sea, in the middle of God's will. Storms came. So we got to realize that in the very first thing is that first of all, you got to realize I am on a divine journey. If the disciples had the entire Bible to read like we have, all Paul's writings and revelation that we've got concerning that, we know that because of Jesus said, go to the other side, that was his intent. They were going to get to the other side. They were going to get to the other side because that was his command. And so when the storms come, listen to this, when the storms come and try to prevent them from getting to the other side, do you know that's what the devil does? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy everything God's birthed in you. And so what the devil does is he comes and brings a storm of life of some sort in you, and it, right in the midst of you trying to get what God sent you to do. But the good news is that Jesus come walking on water to rescue them. And whatever storm you find, and if you realize and you understand, I am on a journey that God ordained, that God has said, that he sent me on. There may be a storm, but he said, I'm going to get to the other side. He will show up walking on water, if necessary, to calm the seas that I can get where I'm supposed to be. This was a journey that they were sent on. It's not one they just decided to take. Now, there could be another message right there, I guess. You know, sometimes we decide to take a journey. That's not recommended. Our idea, our what we believe in is that our hands and our lives are in the will of God. Our lives are in his hands, and that we're being led by the Spirit of God, and the Lord orders the steps of a righteous man, and that the things that we do them because God has ordered those steps. You know what? There may not be a big airplane fly across the sky with a big long letter behind him and says, Billy, do this today. But we got a witness on the inside of us that if when we step out and begin to move forward, we either have a reassurance that we're doing the right thing, or we have a check that we're not doing the right thing. That's still a small voice. The second thing in overcoming these storms in our life is we need to understand that we are, and I've already said this a little bit, that we are exactly where God wants us to be. First one was we are to know that we're on a divine journey and that God sent us a place and that even though there's a storm, we're going to get to the other side. The second thing is that you got to just be reassured that you are where God wants you to be. And we've heard missionaries say, I think I've heard Dean say this, I know I've heard Robert Johnson say this, is that in the mission fields when there's a lot of things going on around the world, if God has sent you there, you're safe. They were traveling, and I don't remember what country it was now, but they were traveling down this road, and they had some of the parts on the front end, was the ball joint or a tie rod end or what, fell down on the vehicle they were driving. And this guy gets out there with a pair of pliers and a hammer, and he had one in the pickup, and he changed that thing on the side of the road. And so Robert, they talked about the terrorists that was in the area, and Robert said, well, what'll happen if they come? He said, well, the first thing they'll do, they're going to kill you because you're an American. What does Robert do? He goes over on the side of the road while they're changing all them parts out and lay down and takes a nap. And the idea behind me telling you that story is that God will protect us when we're doing what he's called us to do, when where he has said for us to be. There is an anointing, there is a covering, there is a protecting that when we are where God wants us to be. Verse 48 was that he saw them tolling and rowing, for the wind was contrary to them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by. The next point is that you got to know, you got to trust that he's watching. See, when we were in Israel, and we went around up on the top of the mountain, I believe on the east side of the Sea of Galilee, traveling down the road, and on the left side of that highway was the Golan Heights, and on the right-hand side was Israel. And it just 100 yards or two out there to where, and on Israel's side where the mountain, it just dropped off, and the Dead Sea was down there. And they took us to a lookout point where we could stand and look out over the entire Sea of Galilee. You can see all four shores, northeast, south, and west shores of the Sea of Galilee from that one place. It's 13 miles long and about 7 miles wide at the widest point. It's not really a sea, it's really a freshwater lake. But my point is that Jesus, when he was up on that mountain praying, he could see them. I mean, it's physically possible to see them on that Sea of Galilee. And so he saw them rowing out there. He saw them toiling. He saw them trying to get to the other side and fighting those waves. And so what did he do? He came to them. And he came to them walking on water. You got to understand that he is watching you. He's not watching you to condemn you. He's not watching you for you to make a mistake so he can punish you. That's not what he's doing. He's watching on you so he can protect you. He's watching over you so he can help you. He's watching over you so he can be at ever-present help in times of trouble. I mentioned a while ago, I would talk to you a little bit about him having passed by, would have passed by them. Very interesting to me. And I'm not sure I know how to just relate it all to you this morning, but let me say this. Any time the Lord comes by, do what they did, cried out to him. He likes to go where he's invited. And if they had not cried out to him, it's amazing that Peter said, Lord, if that's you, let me come out there with you. As far as I know, Peter's the only human being other than Jesus Christ that ever walked on water. I remember a few years ago, bless her hearts, I was listening to a lot of the faith messages, and there's a ditch on that side too, I believe. And there was this deal come through there that if you had enough faith, you'd never die. You could live forever on earth. Well, that's contrary to Scripture. The Bible says that everybody's going to die once. But yet they taught this. And they taught this, if you had enough faith, you could walk on water. You ever tried that? Let me suggest something for you. If you want to try it, just put some water in the bathtub first. Try it there first, especially if you can't swim. You know what? I think it's entirely possible that you could walk on water. Peter did. But the concept that they were teaching was not right. Trust that the Lord is walking. When God sends you on a journey to do what He's called you to do, regardless of how hard it may seem, be reassured His eyes are on you. The Bible says that the Lord's walking to and fro looking for somebody who He can show Himself strong in. That could be each one of us. He show Himself strong in. The fourth thing, in being able to understand and how to correctly handle life's storms, is keep doing what you've been called to do. So many times throughout our lives, and I probably each one of us could agree to this, that we've done this, that this cause it got tough. Sometimes it gets hard. Sometimes it gets difficult. And we've quit. Mr. Lord, this is too hard. But really, if you want to get to the other side, if you want to get to the journey's destination, you've got to keep doing what God's called you to do. Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Jesus Christ. Man, when the wind's behind you, it's easy to sail, isn't it? And things just kind of move in line and getting there, just it's fine. But when the wind is contrary, when it's contrary, that means I'm trying to go this way and the wind's blowing that away. It's like it seems sometimes you feel like you're taking two steps forward and one step back. But if that's the case, you're still moving forward. Amen? You still keep doing what God's called you to do. You fight against that. When you push against that, we go outside and there's a 100-mile-an-hour wind going. We're not just going to turn loose and let it blow us. We're gonna bow up and stick our nose into it and try to push forward, right? Get where you're going. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about God's got a set destination for me, a set destiny for you also, and we got to press forward through those storms of life, and we just got to keep doing what God's called us to do. That's what the Bible says, that when He's done all to stand therefore. What it means, when you're doing all you can do to stand, you stand there, and that means hold that position. Don't let the enemy overwhelm you. Well, how do you hold that position? You keep doing what God's called you to do. If God's called you to teach children church and it seems like there ain't a one of them in there listening, you still keep doing what God called you to do, and you'll break through that. Number five, correctly handling life storms is don't let the direction of the wind stop you and make you feel that you are doing something wrong. So many times people have started out trusting God and believing God and doing what God's called them to do, and then when they met that resistance, they think, oh no, I must have missed God. This couldn't be God, because if I was doing what God called me to do, it would be easy. Talk about in the very beginning of the service day. You know what? I found out very, very, like being a Christian and doing the work of God ain't easy. It's rewarding. It's amazing. It's powerful. It brings such joy in your life, but it's not easy. But it's good. Amen? Sometimes this one can always be a struggle. But if you want to overcome, and if you want to get to where God sent you to do, where He sent you to be, do what God's called you to do, you've got to put a deaf ear to the naysayers. Sometimes people speak up for you. This is sad, but mostly people speak against you. Amen. We've even had some of the most well-meaning Christians love God that walk along beside you sometimes. So, well, you can't do that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. The sixth thing, and I've already actually part said most of this, but is that we need to expect God to show up. God shows up when there's expectation of Him. See, that's when he would begin to walk by that boat, and he would have walked right on by them. But when they called out to Him, when there was an expectation, when there was a hope that was released, when there was a faith that was released, when they cried out to Him, He responded to that cry. Ezekiel 36, 37 says that right before that it lists a lot of things that God's wanting to do. It's amazing. But he says this, but I want you to ask. I want you to ask. What it is the reason that God wants us to ask, because that opens a door for God to get involved in our situations, to intervene in our situations. God has given us so much control over our own lives that if we shut him out, he can't come in. It might not even be that I think he does want in. But he's given us authority in our own life. He gives us the right to choose our own free will. And if we want to shut him out, he won't violate that. He won't break that. And so when we pray, when we ask God, when we invite him in, we're opening the door for God to get involved in our lives, in our storms, and he can bring victory. Number 7, listen for his voice in the midst of the storm. Listen for his voice in the midst of the storm. When Peter cried out, "Is that you, Lord?" He said, "Yeah, it's me." That's what he would have said if he lived in Bush County. "Yeah, that's me." Well, Peter said, "If that's so, then bid me to come out there." He said, "Well, come on." Peter had to hear, "Come on." If he hadn't heard it, he'd never got out of the boat. There's something about getting a word from God that you can press through these storms. There's an empowerment that comes out. You know, I know that God said, "I'm going to go from here to there," and whatever happens in between, the Apostle Paul called them light afflictions. This guy had been shipwrecked, what, 3 times? I believe it was. And left for dead. He'd been imprisoned. But he said, these things are just light afflictions according to the weight of glory. What's waiting, that crown of righteousness waiting on us, these things are just a bump in the road. Amen. Listen to the voice of God. He talked with them in the midst of their storm. And when he got in the boat, the seas calmed. The wind calmed. So what you want is you want Jesus in your boat. You want him in your life. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. He knows exactly how to bring victory to us. He knows precisely what will cause us to be an overcomer. Number 8, remember your past miracles. Remember what God's done in your life. One of the things that's said about the disciples, listen, I don't know if y'all realize this or not. Y'all read in the book of Matthew where it talks about the Beatitudes? Sermon on the Mount, what's called. We were fortunate to be able to stand in that place where that Sermon on the Mount was, where Jesus gave that teaching. And it's just up off of the Sea of Galilee a little ways, just a few hundred yards. And it is a natural amphitheater. And in 1937, there was a scientist from Chicago that was there studying that. And he discovered that in the evening, at a certain time each day, there was a breeze that blew across the Sea of Galilee and blew right up that natural amphitheater that would carry his voice when he's taught to all those sitting on that hillside. It is awesome. I think people don't realize, though, Jesus just performed a miracle where he fed 5,000 men besides the women and children. That means there were more than 5,000 with 2 fishes and 5 loaves. He commanded disciples to divide everybody up in groups, and he blessed that food, and he broke that food and gave it to disciples, and they gave it to those groups of people, all 5,000 plus to women and children. And then when they got done, they picked up 12 baskets full of that was left over. And that was the very same day Jesus said, "Go get in the boat and go across," and he went up on the mountain to pray. So only hours before this, they had just seen one of the greatest miracles that we talk about more than probably any other miracle he did. And they had already forgotten the miracle he had performed a few hours before that while they were in this boat, and they were afraid. And so The Bible said they'd forgotten that miracle. And so my point is that when God does something in your life and you know that God has come through for you, things worked out here, things worked out over there, the blessing of the Lord is in your life in some amazing way, remember those times that God's moved in your life in that way, because in this storm now, I have a background of God living in my life that I can draw from that gives me the strength then, more strength to overcome this one that I'm dealing with now. Remember your past miracles. Remember when you didn't have a job and He created one for you. Remember how you didn't know how your bills were going to get paid, but they end up paid in full. Remember when the doctor gave you a negative report and you're still here. Remember when people lied about you, walked out on you, ran your name down, but you're still standing. Remember the loaves and the fishes and how God made a way out. Remember the times that Jesus spoke. You can draw great strength when you remember the miracles that Jesus performed. Last night I was flipping through channels on TV. And I just thought this had nothing to do with it. It's just I remembered it. And the reason that caught my attention, Brenda and I were just in Branson in October or November, one or the other, and we saw the Presley's Jamboree thing there. And they had a 30-minute show that was on RFD TV. And y'all remember Graham T. Brown, something like that, years ago, country singer? He was singing a song, and it was about his life, he said, and it was, "Lord, turn this wine back into water." In other words, he was crying out to the Lord for help. And I told you that story just to tell you this, that was a storm in his life. And God will help. After he sang his song, he said, "I want to tell you something. God loves every one of you." My point is this. I don't care what your deal is, whether it's your storm is, what's an addiction, whether it's a family issue, whether it is a life issue of any sort, our God has promised to be an ever-present help in times of trouble. He has promised He will never leave us nor forsake us. Amen? Yes. Amen. If you believe that, there is a strength, there is a joy. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. There is help from the Lord. There is power. There's anointing. There's giftings. There's talents. There's whatever you need to overcome that thing. He will be sure it is in your hands. I'm sure glad I chose to serve the Lord when He knocked on the door of my heart. Amen. I didn't say it's going to be easy. I'm just saying if you'll stay with Jesus, you win. You get to where you're supposed to be. If you agree with that, please stand. Hallelujah. Father God, I just trust today, God, that You are touching our hearts this morning. Lord, I know that every one of us go through storms in our life. Some are more difficult than others, but regardless of the level of difficulty, You are always there. You're always watching over us. You're always giving us the tools that we need to win. Father, I thank You for everybody in this room. And I'm asking You, Lord, right now to intervene in any circumstance, any trial or any test that's going on right now and bring about victory. And would You do it quickly, please? I ask You, Father God, today to bless everyone in this place with an abundance, that our homes will be called homes of plenty, where there is no lack, no lack in any area, but everything be fulfilled. You died on a cross, Jesus, so we can have everything that pertains to life and godliness. And I thank You for that this morning. Father, we just bless everyone in this room. I just declare a blessing right now of health, a blessing of wealth, a blessing of peace, a blessing of joy. Just the presence of God be in your life in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Love you guys.